You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, the Gospel according to Matthew, going through the Sermon on the Mount. As we consider the Beatitude, this morning we look at the sixth Beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew chapter 5, those who have the ESV that we use, the Pew Bibles, it will be page 809. Because we're going to start reading from verse 1. But our verse is verse 8. It reads as follows. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. His disciple came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. May we bow down as I pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord. We thank you for your Spirit who teaches us your word. And Lord, we rely upon you as we look upon you this morning. We look upon you in this hour, O God, and asking to receive your word in such a way that our hearts are changed. You receive your word in such a way that our minds are changed and are instructed according to your word. In such a way that our wills are submitted unto you. We pray that this morning, O Lord, you may magnify yourself in the midst of your people today, O God. We pray that we may see your greatness, that we may see your glory, that we may love you for it. We pray that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, that we may submit ourselves to you joyfully in the knowledge of who you really are. We pray for the lost in our midst, and our desire, O God, is their salvation. We sorrow, O God, over their lost condition. And we pray that you, O Lord, will be merciful upon them, that you will be merciful today, that they may see your Son for who he really is, that they may hear the command that is in your gospel, that they will turn from their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. I ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen.
Amen.
If there is anything that is overlooked, or if there is any aspect of the Christian faith or the Christian life that is overlooked, that will be the purity of heart. Very rare in our culture or wherever we come together, very rare that we appreciate talking about the matters of moral purity. We live in a world where people think that anything, whether it's theft, whether it's robbery, is lies, corruption, rape, or even fraud, anything which helps to gain victory or superiority over others. People, they think as long as they gain victory and are superior on others, then those things are good. Whereby the ends justify the means. In other words, whereby whatever you do, it is right as long as the outcome is right, regardless of what is it that you are doing. Whereby every action is good if it produces good results. Whereby nobody asks, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? Nobody asks that. Regardless of the fact, friends, that we are actually day by day living in the sight of the God who is all-seeing. The God who demands purity. Here is a people sitting in their sin. Here is the people in their lost condition, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a people like us, who have drawn to follow Jesus, to hear what Jesus is about to preach to them. Here is a people in the shadow of death. We read that in chapter number 4. Enjoying their sin and drifting more and more from God. Drifting away from His presence. Having no future and having no God in the world. Here is a people who have experienced such sinful condition. People who are carrying in their own hearts sin. People are separated from God. But as they come, as they have come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ from chapter number 4, preaching unto them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As they've seen Him in action, healing the sick, drawing all men unto Himself, healing every kind of disease that is there. As they have seen that, the Bible says they followed Him. And then when they followed Him, Jesus went up on a mountain and His disciples also followed Him. Then He began to teach them. He began to teach to them, giving them a picture of the kingdom of God. But above all, giving them a picture of the lives of the citizens of the kingdom of God. I think it is very important that we catch that. What we are about to consider, what we have been considering, is a picture of the lives of the citizens of the kingdom of God. So He begins to impart unto them these divine truths upon their hearts. He begins to pour unto them the reality. What is it that a Christian person is supposed to be? What is it that determines or separates between a citizen of the kingdom and a citizen of the world? Saying they are poor in spirit. Those are the citizens of the kingdom of God. They mourn over their sin. They mourn over the sin of others. They are meek. In other words, they are humble. They are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are merciful unto others. They are merciful unto those who need mercy. Those who are vulnerable out there. The citizens of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. And this morning He's saying they are pure. They are pure in hearts. So, as we consider this, Bazalwane, we need to be reminded that God is not much concerned about our outside or outward performance. God is more concerned about our inward performance, about how the heart or the human soul looks like before Him. And that is very important, my friends, because there are so many pretenders out there. There are so many people who will outwardly portray faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but inwardly they are far from Jesus, just like the Pharisees of Jesus' time, far from Jesus Christ. But day by day, going up the road to the temple, sacrificing the lamb, sacrificing those doves, whatever they were sacrificing, which seemed to be good in the sight of men, but their hearts were far from God. It is very important to consider the fact that they are pretenders in this life. That is why Jesus is concerned about purity of heart. And we're just going to look at that in a minute. So, it is not a matter of people carried along with religious practices. Perhaps going to church each and every Sunday, going in and out of churches, professing your faith maybe on Facebook and feeling good about it. It is not about that. Honoring Jesus with your lips, but your heart is far from Him. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. It is specific. What He says is very specific. And for us then, to see how we fit into this, firstly, I would like us to look at what is the meaning of purity. The meaning of purity. What is Jesus talking about? He says, blessed are the pure in heart. What is Jesus referring to? Well, it is to be pure from defilement. I'll make an example. I'll make an illustration so that we understand what do I mean when I say pure from defilement. If you read the Old Testament, an example that I'm bringing to you. If a person was found ritually unclean, if a person was found ritually impure, what does that mean? If a person was found with maybe a skin disease or a discharge of body fluid, or the person has touched something that is dead, either a bird or an animal or a human being. If a person has touched something that is dead or eating unclean food, meaning the food that God has not said people must eat. If a person was found in that way, that person was regarded impure. Then the unclean person in that regard had to avoid to come to what was holy. In other words, Bazalwane, what am I saying? If a person was regarded impure, that person was restricted to come to where there was something pure, or to come to the sacred place of God. So in other words, God was feeling strongly about impure people. Just imagine, you just touch a dead person, God calls you impure. So purity, Bazalwane, is something that is very serious before God. So a person who was found impure had to avoid coming to a place of holy place, a holy place, a place of worship, or in the presence of God. So if you are in a state of uncleanness, you are in a danger of the wrath of God, under the divine justice of God. That is the picture that clarifies to us how serious God is when it comes to the issue of purity. You fall under divine judgment and separation from all that is holy and sacred. That is why, if you read Isaiah 52 verse 11, let me read for you. It says, depart, depart, go out of there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her. In other words, get away among the people who are impure. Get away among a situation where people are there sitting in impurity, indifference from God. He says, get away from it. Purify yourself, you who bear the vessels of God. Those who are called by the name of Jesus need to purify themselves. Purity speaks, Bazalwane, of spiritual spotlessness. It speaks of ritual cleanliness, as I have mentioned, that God demanded people to be clean. But Bazalwane, in the context of what we are reading today, it is more than that. It is to be single-minded. That is what the verse suggests. You must be single-minded. You must have a focus on something. And what we are reading about here, Jesus is calling people to be single-minded on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You must have your focus focused unto God at all times. That declares a person to be pure. Where is your focus? What have you focused your heart unto? What have you given yourself unto? What are the activities of your life? Do they glorify God? The things that you meditate on day by day, are they not defiling or making dirty somehow your mind, your insight, your soul? Are the activities that you are engaged yourself in not defiling you? Even the outside activities, I will count them for you in a minute. Is everything right with you? As I have said, purity, it's God's demand. So here, it speaks more of being focused on the kingdom of God. Intentionally focused. Purity then is your declaration of your relationship with God. It determines your standing with Him. It reflects your fellowship with God.
purity reflects your fellowship with God. You cannot claim to have a fellowship with God if you are impure. So purity reflects that you have a fellowship with God. What does the psalmist say? The psalmist say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So purity is uprightness, is an upright walk with God. It's being free from backbiting. You know, these days it's popular, people are backbiting. Purity is being free from that. It's to have a life merged with the life of Christ. To live a life that Christ has given you to live. Not the life that you had before Christ that you were living. We read the verse just now, just to show you what I mean. So purity is not faithfulness to some religious practices. You see what's happening today. People will go to some place where they become faithful to some religious practices. They'll go up a mountain and do something in the mountain, or go to Limpopo, whatever that is, trying to be pure. It is not about faithfulness to a religious practice. Purity is more than that. It's to be focused on the kingdom of God. It has to do with salvation. It speaks of spiritual commitment to Jesus. It is loyalty to God, which requires separation from sin. It requires separation from sin. Purity requires separation from sin. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let us all turn there. Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Let's hear what the apostle says there to us as the people of God. As I'm saying, it is loyalty to God which requires separation from evil. It says here, since we have this promise, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement. There's the word again. We need to cleanse ourselves from every defilement. Then it counts a defilement of body and spirit. So the defilement is of body and spirit. When we speak of purity, we speak of a case of both body and spirit. So you cannot cleanse the outside and think then that you are pure. So he says, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Purity also shows your fear of God. Running away from impure things shows your fear for God. But what is very important in this verse that I wanted to bring to you is the fact that it is purity of body and soul. So purity, Bazalane, speaks of work in progress. It is not something that is already accomplished and it is finished in your life. It is work in progress, whereby on daily basis we seek the Lord's help, turning to His Word, that His Word may open our hearts, that we may see our sins and see our faults. Teach us about holiness, to teach us about grace and hope, whereby we act with determination to resist sin and do what is right. God requires all believers to cleanse themselves from everything that will defile the body and the soul. So speaking of purity, Bazalane, you really sounded the bell that says, I need to examine myself. Because we are living in a world that is obsessed with sin. Open your TV around 8 o'clock. Prime time TV promotes fornication, drunkenness, witchcraft, idolatry, adultery, same-sex relationships, and gay weddings are as a norm. Are we going to receive that as entertainment? Because it is called entertainment? No. Purity tells us that we will not accept that as entertainment, because it defiles our minds. Purity means that we are to set aside the evil ways of the world and honor Jesus by living a faithful, obedient life. Purity tells us that is what is required from us. You turn again to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look what the Bible says there.
Let us hear what God says, adding to what I have just said. 1 Peter chapter 4, reading from verse 14 to 16. Listen what it says. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Hold on. Wait a minute. Listen again. Do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance. There is something called former ignorance. We need to make sure we understand it. But we must not conform to the passions of our former ignorance. But as who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conducts. So the passions of the former ignorance does not call to holiness. Only the new thing that has been imparted unto you call for purity. He says, it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does this mean, Bazaran? It means that we must have controlled appetites. Controlled appetites. I will go and expound it if we didn't have children. But now, since we know what I'm talking about, now you understand what I mean. We must have controlled appetites. In general. In other words, we must not let ourselves lean or cling more to the things of the former life, the life in which Christ has called us from. We must make sure we step away from the life of the past and cling to the life that is new, clinging to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Purity means maintaining sober thinking and sober living habits. It is a shame if we walk out there as Christians, as the children of God, and live lives that shows nothing of Jesus Christ, nothing of the power of the cross. It is also a shame and sin above all that we may think of things that doesn't show anything of the life of Christ and the power of the cross in our lives. That is the one that is very important. Because it is easy for people not to do things because people bazothini, what are you going to say? But then think of things because nobody can see the things that we think. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, purity speaks of not thinking the things that conforms to the life of the past. That's not an easy thing. That is why then we engage ourselves in prayer. We engage ourselves in the reading of the Word of God. Only the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Only the Word of God can cleanse us from within. We must have undefiled thoughts, not thinking evil and sinful of other people. We are to conform to what is now. What is now? You are the child of God if you have come to Jesus. We must not conform to what was prior to our regeneration. We need to grow in holiness in other ways. So Jesus Bazalani here is setting the standard very high for those of the kingdom of God. Why am I saying very high? The Pharisees of the time, they taught a big deal about keeping laws and regulations. But Jesus says, it will not take keeping laws and regulations to see the kingdom of God. It will take purity. He's raising the standard. What pleases God in other ways, according to Jesus, is purity of heart, being totally against all and everything in contrary to the mind of God. Have you found what is the mind of God? Have you realized what is it that God thinks His people should be, or what God says we should be? Have you found the mind of God? Because we have to do what is right, but reject all that is in contrary to the mind of God, to remain pure before God. So you cannot be a hypocrite like the Pharisees. How were they hypocrites? They presented themselves to be something that they were not. Hypocrites. So you can try to be a hypocrite, but remember, we're dealing with God here, Bazalwane. So you cannot be a hypocrite like the Pharisees, who acted and tried to do things to please one another. You can also not be a robber and a thief like the Gentiles, because that's what they were known to do at that time. You cannot be like that. Because God knows He knows your heart. You can also not be a womanizer or abuser of children. You cannot be a homosexual. You cannot be a prostitute. You cannot be a drunkard and claim unity with Jesus. Because the sins which defiles us in the body, those are the sins we need to be, we need to bring and to be washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I making myself a little bit clear? There is a dividing line between the children of the kingdom and the children who are not in the kingdom. Praise be to God and our Lord Jesus Christ that you sit here, know where you stand. I pray that we all sit here as the children of God. The idea here, I'm saying, Jesus is raising the standard. Of course, purity, Bazalan, does not mean perfection. We must get that one straight as well. Purity does not mean perfection. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. You can write it down. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, we are not perfect. We still fall into sin. But when we fall into sin, we come to Jesus, and Jesus cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. So purity does not mean perfection. What does purity mean? It means to be concerned about the intent of your heart and the intent of your mind. Be concerned about what is going on in your mind. Be concerned about what is going on in your body. Be concerned of the things that attach themselves unto you, or the things that you attach yourself unto them. Be concerned about your motives. Why are you doing this? Whatever it is that you're doing, be concerned. In other words, fix your eyes unto Jesus. Only He can drive you to the right direction. You cannot have a hidden agenda and claim to be pure. You cannot have a hidden agenda. Remember Judas Iscariot? He continued with Jesus for 3 years with a hidden agenda. But if you have a hidden agenda, my friend, God is able to reveal that evil agenda and the secret ways of every Judas in His house. He will make sure that you are known that you are a hypocrite. You have a secret mission in your life, a hidden agenda. So it is important, it is crucial, it's vital to pursue purity in order to grow closer to God. You need to rely on Jesus every day so that He empower you to continue live in purity. Now that we understand what purity is, let us look then at the location of purity. That's the second point. Location of purity. I said it is not something on the outside. What does the Bible say? It says, blessed are the pure, where? In heart. The location of purity is within the heart. You can cleanse yourself as much as you want from the outside, but it is a matter of heart. We shall deal with that just now. Because it's very important, Bazaran, to see that. It is easy for people to purify themselves on the outside. Baba Myaken can tell you there's a river around where he stays. Many people go to purify themselves in that river. It's easy to jump in and jump out and bow and do all those things. Here's the foot train. I'm sorry, this foot on English. Sorry, guys, who speaks English. I don't know any foot on English. I don't know what it is in English, brother. But I'll explain to you later. It's easy to do all those things. Drinking what is called holy tea. There's nothing like that. But doing all those things, going up and down, doing every kind of thing, it's easy for people to do that. But Jesus is pointing the location of purity within the heart. You can fool around and do whatever you want to do. But is your heart in a right standing with God? Do you possess a pure heart? So he points to the inside of man. He locates purity to the soul, the center and the source of every man and woman, the heart. The heart here refers to the whole inner life of a person, the being itself. It speaks of the bedrock of what we think, the foundation of everything that we are, the fountain of our affection. where everything runs from. That's what we're talking about. It is not the mind. Things doesn't run from the mind. The conscious. It speaks of the purity of heart. It speaks of that which includes the mind. It does include the mind. It also includes the will. It's the total man. So it is something which takes place when? If really the purity of heart that is accepted before God, it is something then that takes place at the new birth. Are you born of God? It is something that takes place at the new birth. It has to do with salvation. That is why, even if you can cover your evil heart with church attendance, God doesn't care. He looks at the heart. God sees the inside. God sees what you truly are. You can be a good actor of purity before men, but you cannot act before God. He knows your heart. How does an impure heart look like? Galatians chapter 5, we know the verse, verse 19 to 21. Listen. Now the works of the flesh, the signs of impurity, are evidence. They can be seen. You can see them day by day. How they look like. Sexual immorality. What is sexual immorality? Fornication. What is fornication? To be involved when you are not supposed to be involved. Outside marriage, you are not married. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. To have something greater that you honor and worship than the God, the living God of heaven. Witchcraft, enmity, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, rebellion, division, envy, drunkenness. And multiples of partners. All these things, the apostle says, I warn you, as I warn you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, friends, all that God desires is the inward cleansing of the heart. Why? Simply because we are all suffering the same disease. We are all suffering the same problem. What is it? It is the problem of the heart. I know there are people here who are suffering different kinds of diseases. Maybe you have arthritis. Maybe you have brain tumor. Maybe you have gout. Maybe you have low blood. Maybe you have high blood. Maybe you have no blood. There are many different diseases. But that's not the main problem that you have. It is also a problem. The main problem is the heart. We have an issue with the heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We've got a problem with the heart. So the problem is not the world around us, but the problem is the world within us. That is why you need a purified heart. How do I come to this one? First Peter chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. What does it say? Peter says, having purified your soul by the obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. How do I get this pure heart? Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. I need to be born again by the word of God. How dare you go to a church where the preaching of the word of God is absent and expect purity of heart? It's impossible. That is why what is happening is happening. Once you close the Bible in your church, in your personal life, purity of heart is at risk. Friends, take this as the word of God. Trust me. I've spent days. My wife can tell you. I told her yesterday. This is actually one of the sermons that I spent days and days preparing. I normally prepare from Sunday to Friday. I finish around Friday from Sunday. But even this morning, I was still looking. Purity of heart, oh God. I'm guilty myself. Do I always think right? No! Friends, It's serious. Confess your sins. Purity of heart. How do I come to this? By the abiding and the living word. The word of God. You need the word of God. We need the preaching of the word. That is why in this church, whether it's Sunday or it's stormy day, we preach the word of God. What does the psalmist say? Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Friends, we need the word of God. Only the word of God can purify us. If you reject the word of God, we have seen what happens when people reject the word of God. They are no longer with God. Some have fallen away as backsliders. Some have completely fallen away as apostates. Meaning, they are gone. Rejecting the word. We need the word of God. If you reject the word of God, purity of heart becomes impossible. Trust and believe. It is impossible to be pure rejecting the word of God. Looking away from the preaching of the word of God. Looking away from the reading, the public reading of scripture. Impurity is impossible. So Jesus says, away with the teachings of men. Away with the teachings of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes who led people astray, leading them to believe that purity can be found by keeping laws and regulations. Away with those things. Don't tell me I must come to do something. Tell me something must happen when I come. Somebody needs to do something. He says to them, he rebukes these pretenders in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 26. He rebukes these pretenders, these Pharisees, these false teachers. We have them in our days. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, and that the outside also may be clean. Definitely Jesus is not talking about cups and plates in the cupboard of the Pharisee. He talks about the heart. Clean first the heart so that everything then else can be considered as clean. He says, woe unto you. These are people who are serious about keeping outside cleanness and ignore the inside. Let us not ignore the inside. Purity, my friends, is not beauty contest. You remember beauty contest? Those who grew up in my days, they know there was something called beauty contest. Today, we call it Miss South Africa and Miss World or Miss Universe, where the young ladies who look beautiful, they stroll around. Purity is not beauty contest. It's not something of the outside. You can be as much beautiful as you want to be. We can cleanse ourselves and speak good, yeah. And purity is a matter of heart, friends. It is not about going to church and still remain wicked. Friends, here is Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35, referring again and again, referring to the heart as the center of man's faculties, as the center of importance. Matthew 12, verse 34 to 35. That is what we find in your New Testament. Jesus rebuked those who cleanse the outside of the cup, but will not practice inward cleansing. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So my friends, don't ask yourself, how is it that you speak like that? No. Out of your heart, your mouth speak. It is because your heart is defiled. Don't ask too much, why am I thinking these terrible things all the time? No, your heart is defiled. You are in a verge of falling away. Take this serious. It says, brood of vipers, the good person out of a good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So Jesus, throughout all his preaching, he concentrated in the heart. He preached and aimed and pointed to the heart. So did the disciples of Jesus, the apostles. They aimed to the heart. We are aiming to the heart. Why? Because the location of purity is in the heart. Nowhere else, not outside, but inside. He points to himself time and time and again to obtain this purity throughout the Bible. Friends, Jesus takes away all the pollution of the human heart and imparts cleanness. He imparts a heart free of deceitfulness. A heart cleansed by the washing of regeneration. A heart that is true and honest. What does that mean? Keep away from activities that will defile the heart and divide the soul. Keep away. Do not devote yourself to any sort of impurity and uncleanness. You need to have a heart that is sprinkled by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You need to have a heart that is sprinkled from an evil conscience. You need a believing heart. We need a believing heart. A heart which will freely and willingly come to confess its sins before God, knowing that God is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is it not God who says in Ezekiel, I will sprinkle you with clean water and you shall be clean from all uncleanness? God must do this thing. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Jesus must do this. Jesus must do this. So in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking about the heart of someone whose sins have been forgiven and whose heart has been made new, whose purity comes not from within, but from without. Purity that comes from God. Which is why, my friend, a pure heart is evidenced by the way we live. We don't have to ask if you have a pure heart. It is evidenced by the way you live. You need to be mindful of your commitment to Jesus. Always think of your commitment to Jesus. That you said you will love him with all of your heart. In difficult times and in good times. When you came to him, that was your confession. I will love you, Lord. That is why thinking about purity of heart will need to bring us to our knees in prayer, saying, Lord, I have not loved you the way I'm supposed to love you. I am not pure as in the way that I'm supposed to be pure. Forgive me my sins, I come before you. It must bring us to confession because we are all guilty. Tell me you have loved God the way you're supposed to love him. Lord, I have not loved you with a pure heart. I have not loved you with all of my heart. Maybe I should ask, are you blameless before God, my friend? Has the gospel changed you? Does your life agree on that? Does the people around you testify on that? Because these are the questions you need to ask yourself each and every day. You need to ask yourself again and again, asking the Lord to reveal to you your faults and your sins so that you may bring them unto God. When last did you ask God to reveal to yourself your sins? Lord, reveal to me my faults so that I can write them one by one, that I may tick the box and says, Lord, forgive me this one and then this one and then this one. When last did you come to the Lord and done that? Lord, I have not loved you. I am not pure as I'm supposed to be pure. Purify me with the waters of your gospel. Thirdly and lastly, let us look at the effects of purity. What do I mean by that? The end product of purity. The blessing of purity. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? They shall see God. That is the end product. That is why we need to be pure. Psalm 24 verse 3 says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall come to God? Jesus is answering this morning. The pure in heart. That is what purity of heart leads to, my friend. It leads to the throne of God in heaven. It leads to the presence of God, the joy in heaven that is set for those who love the Lord, the pure in heart, the meek, those who mourn for their sins, those who are thirsty and for righteousness, those who hunger for righteousness. Lord, who shall ascend to your holy hill? Who shall come before you, O God? The one who does not have deceit and defilement in his heart. He says, they shall see God. friends, I don't know about you. I am tired of sorrows. I am tired of impurity of heart. I am tired. Maybe you are. If you are, you cling to the cross. And the Bible says, they shall see God. That is the promise. That is the blessing. The phrase there, they shall see God, gives us assurance that something is there for us one day if we continue and carry on and hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ. It helps us to long for that day. We are not sitting here wondering, oh God, I'm suffering in this world. God knows all our needs and our sufferings, my friends. But as we suffer, as we continue to have lack, as we continue to be deceived by others, as we continue not knowing what is happening, there is a treasure that is kept for us in heaven. God Himself. They shall see God. That is the comfort to the believer. Knowing your future before it transpires. In contrast to the world before us, whereby the future is blear and uncertain. The future in this world is not certain, my friend. But the future in heaven is certain. They shall see God. So with great emphasis, Jesus is pointing beyond the horizon of this present world to the future horizon in the world that is to come. He says, seeing God is possible, but it's only possible by a pure heart. He says to the Gentiles, in other words, who are listening to him there, although he's addressing his disciples, because there were Gentiles sitting there as well. Remember, he's from that place called Galilee of Galilee. The people here is a mixed crowd of Jews and Gentiles. So the Gentiles, as they hear him, this is the message they're receiving. He says to the Gentiles who hear him, since you Gentiles have built statues and your own gods because you believe by seeing, if you come to me and believe in me, you don't have to build those things. You will see the true and the living God, the true God. That is the message they're getting. Bend those things. Break those things. Come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also says to the Jews who were there, oh, I know, you believe the God that is unseen, that is great. You worship the one you do not see. No, no problem. But if you come to me, you will see him who is unseen. You will see God. Come to me. You are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You shall see. You shall see God. So Jesus is not saying, blessed are the Jews. No. He's not saying blessed are the Jews. He says blessed are the pure in heart. Both the Jews and the Gentiles are equal before him. They are both a people of God without distinction if they have come to Jesus and believed. He doesn't have two standards of saving people. A believing Jew and a believing Gentile is equally a child of God. They are both the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Under the new covenant, sealed with the precious blood of Jesus. In other ways, I'm saying to you, Swazi, Pedi, Venda, Malawi, wherever you come from, we don't have different ways. We don't have different gods. We don't have different means to come to Jesus. He saves us by His Son. If you're from Malawi, you need to be saved by Jesus. You're from Zimbabwe, you must be saved by Jesus. Through faith, you must be sealed by him. There's no distinction. Not blessed are the Jews or blessed are the Gentiles. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. They shall see God. I don't have two ways of accepting people unto me. One way, purity of heart. God does not have Jewish children and Gentile children. He has one standard, one people. Blessed are the pure in heart. So it doesn't matter whether you are a child or of a Jewish person or a child or whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are a child of God or not. That is what matters. Not whether you are a Jew or Gentile. Those distinctions are gone. That is why he's preaching. In other words, when he says we shall see God, the prayer of Jesus will be fulfilled that he prayed in John 17, verse 24. Do yourself a favor. Open John 17, verse 24. There is a blessing that awaits the pure in heart. The fulfillment of Jesus' prayer. He says, Father, I desire that also these people who have given to me, they may be with me where I am to see my glory. In the second commandment, in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. You read at home. You know the second commandment. Don't make statues. Don't make idols for yourself. In that second commandment, man is forbidden. Man is stopped not to make anything visible to portray God. But nevertheless, here is Jesus Christ. He says, the believers, they have a precious blessing awaiting them. They shall see God. They shall see God. They will see Him who created the heaven and the earth. Apostle Paul says, we see now in a mirror, dimly. We have this in our hearts. We have this hope. We know we're going to heaven, but it is not very clear how it shall be. But there comes a day where we shall see it. My question is simple. Are you longing to be in that place? Do you really want to see God? Be pure in heart. Well, the scripture says God is invisible. So how are we going to see God? I'm not going to go further with this. There's so many things that people say there. But what I believe is that we shall see Him in His Son. We shall see His glory. We shall hear Him speak. We shall enjoy His immediate presence. It was Jesus who said in John 14 verse 7, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So we're going to see Jesus in glory, the way that He was never seen in this world. We shall see Him. We shall see God. Do you really want to see your Savior? In heaven, through the Son of God, we shall see the glory of the Father. Not only shall we hear His voice, but we shall feel His presence. Remember, in the cool of the day, in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says Adam used to hear God walking. You're not going to hear God walking. You're going to feel and have the sense of the presence of God in heaven. The psalmist says, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Bazalwan, we shall see God. We shall see God. So we must have faith like Job. Remember what Job says? He said, after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Do you want to see God? Be pure in heart. That means what we put on our body must be holy to God. No drugs, no cigarettes, no immoral things, no fornication, no adultery, no impure things. Those who want to see Jesus in glory must be true worshippers of God right now in accordance to His ways. Right now, they must have pure hearts. You must be guided by God and His ways. You must strive without hypocrisy to please God, without a divided heart. That's why James says, a man with a divided heart achieves nothing. Let us not have a divided mind and heart, so that we may see God. Friends, the message is clear. The pure in heart, God will reveal Himself to them. As it is right now in this world, the children of God, you and me, God reveals Himself to us in our daily life through the preaching of His way, by the provision that He gives to us. But He doesn't reveal Himself to those who are sinful. Yes, they have what they have, but they don't have the precious blood of Jesus upon them. Those of pure hearts, God will reveal Himself unto them. So stop misleading yourself. No one can expect to see God with an impure heart. Just like you don't expect to get healthy water from a dirty, polluted fountain or a pump. No, you expect clean. So how can you expect to see God if we are not clean? Purity of heart. Church, the scripture does not say, take your sin that gets you down and pray about it. It is good to pray, but it doesn't say pray about it. It says stop it. Just stop it. Stop your sin. You want a verse? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 to 29. Let the thief no longer steal. No, it doesn't say let the thief go and pray about his stealing. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone else. Let no corrupt talks come from your mouth. Don't go pray. Lord, I'm corrupt. It's good to pray. Stop it. Friends, as I close, let me ask, do you possess a clean heart? Are your thoughts captive to obey Jesus? Do you long for that uncorrupted communion and fellowship with God? Do you desire to see God face to face one day? If that is you, my friend, you need to shun the wrong and do the right. You need to run away from all impurity which will hinder the soul from seeing God. You need to be willing to separate from friends, unbelieving friends who lead you to impurity. You need to separate from your church if they condone sin and false worship. Run away. Is that you, my friend? You need to pray for your husband. You need to pray for your children. You need to pray for your wife for a pure heart. You need to pray for one another. We need to prepare ourselves day by day by reading the word of God, that we may be purified, immersing ourselves as it were, that we may sustain purity of heart through Jesus Christ by guiding our ways according to His ways. Your prayer this morning should be, Lord, purify my heart. Let me be pure as gold. Let me be pure as silver. Let me be set aside for you, O God. Let me be set aside for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Destroy in me any false and proud thoughts and sinful desires of the heart. That should be your prayer. Let's close our eyes as I pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us for who you are and what we are before you. I pray for any lost soul in this place, that they will hear the offer of the gospel, that they will hear what your Son is presenting before us this morning. Purify us. Lead us to the court of heaven where we shall see you. Let your people hear the command of your gospel. And may your church be not the church that will replace the things of God with the things of the world. May we not replace you with the images of defilement that are always running around our minds. But instead, let us look unto the mirror of your word and love you for who you are. Love you for the way you have revealed yourself to be a holy God. I ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all say Amen.